Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. We continue our series called Prayer for Renewal. Tonight's theme is Lead Us Not into Temptation. And we read Matthew 6, verses 9 through 14, a familiar passage. We read it nonetheless, for this is God's Word. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. And this is the prayer of our heart, living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would lead us not into temptation. We pray that these words, spoken and penned so long ago, which has transformed and transfixed the prayer lives of your people, would have its work within us today. For we are praying, dear Lord. Your church, even now, this local expression of your church is praying for renewal and revival and reformation. We are praying that you would stretch us, Lord, through friendship, fellowship, and hospitality to draw nearer to Christ and to do so through his means of grace and to experience divine spiritual fruit of love and all of the fruit of the Spirit that overflows in vast abundance. But Lord, daily we face temptations to steer clear of this course of renewal and to fall once again into the snares of sin. And so we pray that as we learn your word, that our prayer life would be stretched and that your people would steer clear by grace of temptation and find ourselves delivered. Thank you for hearing this humble prayer we ask in the name of Jesus, and let us say, amen. Well, the Great Wall of China is a huge structure. Do you know how long that wall is at one time? Now you find it in parts and pieces through China. If you ever tour that fine nation, you can visit it. But in its original state, that wall spanned 4,000 miles. To build that wall was an immense cost of money and time and labor. And when it was finished, such a wall appeared invincible, impregnable. But one day, the enemy did penetrate that wall. But they did not penetrate the wall by breaking it down. They did not penetrate that wall by going around. They did it by bribing a guard. By bribing a guard. No one is above temptation. No matter what wall you guard, no matter what nation or power you represent, no one is above temptation. No one is above, you and I included, no one is above betraying their faith. No one is above betraying their family or spouse. No one is above committing the crime of high treason and betraying one's country. No one is above falling. Your pastor is not above falling. Your elders and deacons are not above falling. Your parents are not above falling. You are not above falling. And there is this is one of the three valuable lessons that we learn from this final petition of the Lord's Prayer. That is the petition, lead us not into temptation. Lesson number one we learn is this. Do not trust yourself. Do not trust yourself. I will never forget my favorite uncle. He was a church-going man, and he was married to my favorite aunt for 30 years. And he left her after 30 years of marriage. I will never forget my best friend in seminary. I remember meeting him the first day, standing in line to register. We became fast friends. He was a youth pastor, and he cheated on his wife with an underage minor. I will never forget my old music minister. He taught me to love the trumpet playing of Phil Driscoll and the saxophone playing of Candy Johnson. Not quite in the same genre, but you know what I mean. I'll never forget him. And I also remember my senior year in high school when he left his wife and family for another woman. Christians are not immune. You are not immune. What are you and I thinking? No one is immune from falling and betraying the one and the ones they love most. Nobody. Nobody. When you and I come to Christ by faith, when we repent of the old, of sin and rebellion, and we trust in Him, that does not suddenly give us complete immunity from falling. Our flesh and our body remains weak. The world stays just as tempting every generation. The devil remains alive and well and active. Think about it. If the man after God's own heart, King David, could fall, then so can you and I. If Judas could betray Christ, and if Peter can deny Christ, what stops you and I from doing either one of those? So, dear church, when we get to this petition in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying this petition not because we're so disciplined, not because we are so pious, not because we are so holier than thou. We're not disciplined, we're desperate. Without God's help, you are weaker than you imagine. There's that old hymn. I remember singing it as a youth. Man, I did so many things in my youth I didn't even know why I was doing. I just did it because my mom and dad and pastor told me to. And this hymn just bothered me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. You know, make it tight. Seal it for thy courts of above. And I was like, oh my goodness, how negative. How doom and gloom. J.I. Packer said, life is such a spiritual minefield. Amid such dangers, we dare not trust ourselves. And so one secret of overcoming temptation and betraying the one we love most and betraying the ones we do love most is to follow the prescription of this petition by making this your daily prayer. Daily. Lead us not into temptation is to be a daily prayer as you pray, give us this day our daily bread. You and I will only be strong in our walk with God when we realize our native inability and put daily trust in Christ and pray for this deliverance. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? I mean, when I was a teenager, I made Paul my hero. I loved Paul. Now, I remember reading about in his letter to the Corinthians, talking about this thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. 2 Corinthians 12. And this thorn in the flesh, we don't know quite what it was, but it hindered Paul. It made Paul unhappy. It weakened Paul. He prayed for deliverance, not once, not twice. He prayed for deliverance three times. And three times, God said no. Why? God saw that it served a valuable function. It continually reminded Paul that he was weak and needed God's strength to make him strong. And that daily awareness that Paul could see through that thorn in the flesh kept driving Paul to prayer and daily dependence to lead me not into temptation by this thorn in the flesh. I believe that's what gifted people need. Gifted people like Paul. A thorn in the flesh. That thing, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have shared it with me or with your spouse or pray about it daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. God does not take it away. It's for our good. So that we pray and draw near to God and say, I know I'm just this close to falling into despair. I need to pray. Lead me not into temptation. First lesson we learn from that petition, do not trust yourself, therefore daily pray. Second thing we learn from this petition is this, as we pray, we learn God controls all circumstances. God is in control. That's why we ask him for help here. In other words, the reason we get in prayer and we say, Lord, you know the day, you know the place, you know the people, and so I'm praying to you, lead us not into temptation, because the scriptures say you control all things after the counsel of your will. Ephesians 1:11. You control all things. Colossians 4 verses 1 through 4 teaches that God opens doors and God closes doors more than you and I realize, more than you and I witness, more than you and I are aware of. He controls the doors. God is not distant. God is not remote. He is not uninvolved. Jude 24 says he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne with great joy. God works all things together for his good. He controls all. That's what this petition teaches us. And so we can pray tonight for the one who controls all, firstly, to keep us in the right place. That's our first subpoint. God, keep me in the right place. Think about it. For each one of us, there are certain places we should not go. There are certain places we don't belong. Maybe someone else can handle it. Maybe someone else belongs there. But we don't belong, and we can't handle that place. Some of those places you know about. You know, you've trodden that path many times before. You know, oh, I'm staying away from there. But there are many places you don't know about. For example, a mother was shopping at a grocery store. And she had her child in the grocery cart. And as she was not paying attention, they turned down one aisle. And suddenly she realized she was in the candy aisle. And what did she know about her child? Wrong place to be. She did a U-turn and immediately left because she knew the child could not handle it. And that's the same way it is with God when we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, as we are in the cart and we turn down an aisle and God does a prompt U-turn and gets us off of the wrong aisle, out of the wrong aisle. God knows what you can handle. God knows what you can't handle. And let me pause to say this. Listen closely. Sometimes that angers us. It's true. Sometimes it angers us. We wonder, why didn't God give me that certain job? We wonder, why did God not get me accepted into that certain school? We wonder why God let someone else bid on that house before we could get to it and keep us out of that neighborhood. God knows. God knows. You and I don't. All we pray is lead us not into temptation. Stop fighting God. And by this prayer, we are asking God to keep us out of places we cannot handle. Some people should not go to certain places. It's too much. There are certain sites. There's certain internet browsing at certain times of the night you should not do. There are certain aisles at stores or retail outlets you should stay away from. There are certain locations you should be away. And they're different for each one of us. None of us should be there. Well, by this petition, we are praying, Lord, help me not to end up there. And help me not to end up there by my foolish choice, or help us not to end up there by accident. Keep us from certain places. There's another thing we're asking by this prayer. Not only keep us from certain places, but secondly, we're asking God to keep us away from certain people. Away from certain people. Now, I remember when I was younger, you know, I'm a sanguine type. I like people. I'm dealing, handling with people all the time, and I just didn't get this through my mind. I thought all people were safe everywhere. You should welcome all into your lives in equal number and equal amount. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, Paul gives this warning. He says, bad company corrupts good character. Can I say that again? Bad company corrupts good character. It rubs off. And I have a good friend who's actually shown me the corollary. He says, oh, by the way, Steve, too, good company can corrupt bad character, so hang out with good people. So they corrupt your bad character. I really liked that. You find yourself when you're around certain people that you just slip into gossiping within 30 seconds. Boom. Or maybe you get loose with your tongue, a little profane, a little vulgar, a little edgy. Maybe there's a certain crowd that when you hang around, you get callous. You get cruel or mean or arrogant when you're with that crowd. Get away from them. Get away from them. And if they cause you to stumble and sin or cause one of the little ones of Christ to stumble, flee. Pray that you be kept away from certain people. There's a pastor who had a new intern, and so he was trying to impart his wisdom of the many years to the intern, and he warned his new intern about the dangers of immorality when you're a pastor in ministry. Well, the young intern beamed with knowledge, and he said, well, to the older pastor, I always socialize in a group setting because I have found, pastor, that there is safety in numbers. Yes, said the wise old pastor, but there is also more safety in an exodus. And the point the old minister was trying to make was, when in doubt, get out of there. Get out. Flee so you can breathe. There are just some people out there that tear you down, and you've just got to acknowledge it. Stay away from them. Find people who lift Christ up. Find people who lift you up, and ask God to give you the right friends and the right people so you are not tempted and led to temptation. Oh, one more thing we pray for, because God controls all things. We pray that he would put us in the right place. We pray that he would put us around the right people. Thirdly, that God, when we pray this petition, that God would keep us from certain things. Certain things. For some of us, that thing we need God to keep us away from is money. Man, don't you hear that bad news? Oh, man. But Jesus warned in Matthew 13, 22 about the deceitfulness of riches. Later in the letters, Paul says that the love of money is a root of all evil. And there are times for certain of us and many of us that God needs to keep us away from too much money. For others, it's power. Keeping you away from power. Maybe you've envisioned yourself one day being the boss, being in charge, having the power. But then you read about in the Bible this thing called lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if we love this world and the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And so that pride of life might very well dog you all of your days if you were in charge of the world. For others, we need to be kept away from certain lust of the eyes. There are certain foods, certain beverages, certain shows or internet sites that are just too overwhelming to our lust of the eyes. There are many things, dear church, that actually aren't evil in and of themselves, but you and I make them into idols, so we must pray, keep me away from that thing, because it's my idol. Ask God to keep them away, and when he does, listen closely, when you pray it and when he does, stop complaining that he's keeping you away from it. Oh, we're so strange creatures, aren't we? And I know, you smile, because I know. Keep me away from money, just give me a lot of it. But keep me away from it while I have a lot of it. As you keep me away, thank you. Thank him. And we all have felt those hurts of not being able to get something that we thought we should have. By faith, you thank God that he didn't give it to you. And you keep praying that prayer. Finally, our final point from this petition, we learn our first point, the main point was do not trust yourself. The second point was God controls all things so he can keep you away from certain people, certain places, certain things. And we come to our final point, our third point. From this petition, we learn that we should pray for God to test us, but not let us be tempted. Okay, did that make sense? We're praying that God would test us, but not allow us to be tempted. We got to talk about that. The thought that God leads Christians into temptation shock some people or could puzzle many people. When we say this petition, some people say, lead me not into temptation. Wait a minute. Doesn't God say he doesn't? Isn't it wrong to tempt people to do evil? Certainly God doesn't lead people into temptation. Doesn't James 1 verse 13 say, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God tempts no one. So why am I praying this petition for something God has promised he won't do? Well, that's a good question. Sounds like a senior high Sunday school class question. Which are good questions, what I mean by that. Well, the answer to that question becomes clearer when we realize that the word temptation has various nuances and meanings. It can mean a tempting one to do evil, which is what the devil or evil people do, or it can mean testing one's faith to see how strong it is, which is what God does. The Union Pacific Railroad was under construction, and there was this elaborate trestle bridge built over a very large canyon out west. And before the train would open it for commercial use, the chief engineer wanted to test its strength. And so he loaded a train with extra cars to double its weight, and the train was driven to the middle of the bridge, and it remained there for an entire day. One worker who had worked quite hard on this bridge complained, "What are you trying to do, break the bridge?" And the engineer said, "No, I'm trying to prove that the bridge is unbreakable." And that's what we're praying the Lord does when he puts the heat on in our life. We're praying that the Lord would be proving how strong our faith and character actually is, not that he would be handing us over to evil and the devil and the world and our own flesh to fall flat on our face. And so when we pray this petition, we're praying, "Please do not test us, Lord, in such a way that the devil can exploit it." You know, test-taking is actually a normal part of life. Test-taking is a positive, though painful, experience in our lives. A teacher will test her or his students to assess their proficiency. A coach will test an athlete to measure their condition. And in the process of that test-taking procedure, every student or athlete learns something about themselves that is helpful. They learn something like, "Hey, I can do this." Or they learn, "Uh-oh, I got a little bit more to go." The same is true of God in spiritual growth. God must regularly test us, dear church, to prove, to show forth what is inside of us and show us how far we've gone in Christ. His purposes are good. His purposes are constructive. They are not destructive. They are not demoralizing. And in that process, he strengthens and pushes us forward as we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Do you know the same thing happened to Jesus? That is what the Bible teaches. The scriptures teach that it was necessary for the faith and character of Jesus to be seasoned and proven by testing to make his work acceptable to the Father. He was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read about that. He was tempted while hanging on the cross, and a thief on one side and the crowd around him tempted him. And the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2, verse 10, that it was fitting that God should make Jesus, the author of our salvation, perfect through suffering. It was necessary for Jesus to be tested. It is necessary for us, we who are his disciples. Now, while trials are necessary in the Christian life, they don't need to be your daily desire. Like when I take a class, I don't look forward to a daily test. "Oh, please give me a quiz every day, a pop quiz if you desire." You and I, when we pray, we're not seeking trials more and more unless God wills it. We're seeking no more trials than we need than, say, a football team that wants a close game. Who wants a close game? You might learn a lot about yourself in a close game, right? Those are the memorable ones, the ones that get documented in the books and in the documentaries and in the movies. You learn a lot, but if you have it your way, you want to annihilate your opponent. The coach doesn't say to the athletes, "All right, let's go out there and play a close game so we can learn a lot about pressure." No, you play to win. So you and I are praying to win. We're praying, "Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into a close game. But if you decide to do so, Lord, please let us escape. Because the devil's going to try to trip us up." And dear church, in this process of testing, you will say with James in chapter 1, verse 2, I count it all joy when you send various trials, knowing that the testing of faith produces endurance, that I may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if I can get out of it, Lord, please lead me not to this. So, dear church, as we seek renewal and revival and reformation, as you seek to stretch by the Spirit in friendship, in fellowship, and hospitality, some of the three most vulnerable human relationships you can imagine, you are going to face temptations. You are not going to like the feeling of stretching, of opening your heart to another human being on behalf of Jesus Christ, to be a better friend, to not check out but to fellowship, to not isolate but to show hospitality that Christ may be honored. You're going to be tempted. And so we must pray that God leads us not into temptation, that God spares us from the fears and dangers of stretching this way. Firstly, because no one is above falling, we've learned that. Secondly, if God has a test in mind, very good, pray that God tests you and protects you from evil. And thirdly, as you're going through it, pray that God will tempt you less than he might have done so that you can cope with temptation when the time comes and make a brave choice to follow his vision for his church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this Lord's Prayer and for this petition to lead us not into temptation. And Lord, we desire to draw near unto Christ and to one another, and so many obstacles oppose us. And it will be risky to remove those obstacles and take steps of faith, of being a friend, of fellowshipping with a person different than me, and of opening our hearts and homes and hospitality. It's risky. And we pray, O Lord, that you would lead us not into temptation, to not cop out or wimp out or run away. We pray that you would even test us from time to time in a way that provides a way of powerful escape to victory, and that other times you would keep us from danger that would capsize all efforts. Just guide us, Lord. You control all things. You open doors, you close doors. Grant renewal to your church. May it overflow to the world, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.